to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Yes, I left a marriage of 23 years, 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, and then have just recently been out of a relationship that I was in for 8 years. So that's part of my reinvention. So I reinvented myself at 40 and then again at 50.
Well, do it, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. And not be afraid to love and to have the courage to, you know, consciously uncouple. Bravo.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you are such a hottie, honey. You just, you should be beating them back with a stick.
Well, apparently I intimidate them.
Really?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you a question now that all my brains are tuned in and listening. You guys know we're on the edge. We're having a little green room conversation.
Nice.
What is it I hear about the Australian men? I hear that they're a little different. I hear they're very... I don't know what the right word is because I don't want to be judgmental, but they're very bossy.
Some of them, yes, some of them are boss are very bossy. I think it's that they like to be the alpha dogs. I'm going to say they have high expectations. A typical scenario would be, I want you to do this. I want you to be the housewife, but I want you to take care of me. Mm. But I might not think that I need to take care of you. So that's sort of one lot.
One dimensional kind of thing.
Yeah. But they struggle with it when somebody is the career woman or a business woman takes charge and get things done. They sort of tend to stand back, so they're sort of a bit that they don't ebb and flow quite as much. But I think as women too, we tend to stand very much like this and sort of
after the We Too movement, the Me Too movement in the United States, it really has put men on notice. Okay. Yeah. We're not taking it anymore. Yeah. We're not taking it anymore. We burned our bras a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But along those same lines, women have to be careful that they don't emasculate men.
Yes.
Because I love a strong man. I love taken care of, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't mind having your dinner ready for you. I don't mind calling you baby, honey, sweetie, what you need. I don't mind that. I love that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I need a warrior, a hunter, or a gatherer. Mm-hmm. But I've been married 36 years, and it has always been a mix. I've always been able to do whatever I wanted to do, and he's always been the provider. So, you know, everybody doesn't have that. Mm. We got it all right here on the edge. A great candid conversation with my girlfriend down in South Australia. This is Sally Curtis Brains. Say hello. And I just love those red glasses. Red is your color. It speaks.
Absolutely.
To you. And maybe that's what's a little intimidating too, is the red, you know, because that speaks fire.
It does, yes. And we have lots of fire, lots of energy, lots of fast pace. And I think that's what makes it a little bit difficult for them to work out, you know, can I run alongside with this girl, or do I have to get hold of her coattails and try and bring her back, or can I elevate her?
And it's the root chakra, you know.
Mm, yeah.
So, you know, they scared of the pee power. So, you know, Brains, I love to have candid conversations, and Sally is open to that because a lot of people don't know her backstory. They know about all the fantastic things that she does when it comes to business, when it comes to customer service, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to pivoting. But who is this woman, and where did it all begin, and what is she deciding to do now? And that's what we're going to talk about, a great human interest story. Because, see, that's what's selling Brains. It's not the six-figure income. Folks are trying to get to the next 6 weeks. It's not your book. It's not being an entrepreneur. It's being heart-centered, okay? It is about emotional intelligence and building relationship capital. Mm. That's where it is. And then, and good customer service. And then beyond that, it's all gravy. Wouldn't you agree, Sally?
Absolutely. I think we've all got sick and tired of the rant, the rave, and the rah-rah, and we just want to know it's all about who are you? Can I trust you? Can I play with you? Are you going to be around for the long term or is for as long as I need you?
Exactly. And that's any relationship. Yeah. Are you going to be there for me when I need you? You know, let's talk a little bit about customer service because I pride myself on that. I have been taught by some of the world's best in customer service. And what people have to understand is service is only as good as the person that you are serving. Well, you can't have a cookie cutter. Everybody doesn't need the same thing. And what I find most importantly is that people want to be heard.
Yes.
I think what gets me is like when I call a company and the first thing they say is, I'm sorry. No, you're not. You don't give a rat's poo. You don't care about what I'm saying, but you've been programmed to say that. So again, I don't discredit them because I know they've been programmed. But what I really like is for a person to actually hear what I said, repeat back what I said, and provide me with options. Come with a can-do attitude. I don't want what you can't do. I already know what you can't do. That's why I'm calling you. But come with a can-do attitude. What would your position be on that?
I think one of the great positions I have around that is always being that problem solver. So, and I loved it. You hit the nail on the head with that, you know, that can-do attitude. So have that can-do attitude. How can I solve your problem today? Please tell me in detail what the problem is. Hence, as you've said, that's why somebody's ringing. So having that, yes, I'm prepared to listen, but yes, please tell me what's going wrong for you so I can find a solution. But I think a lot of people, as you said, don't... they pre-program or overtrain their staff and they almost overtrain that the problem solving out of them. Whereas if they said, empowered them with, you know, in these sorts of circumstances, you can provide these range of solutions, it gives that person that's a natural problem solver the opportunity to listen and pick the best solution for somebody and feel empowered in their role to do so.
Exactly. And, you know, empowerment also requires you to take charge and be accountable and responsible. Every single one of us makes a mistake. Nobody is perfect. What the difference is ownership. You know, because I will make a mistake and I'll say, damn, you know, I'm sorry, I did that, and really be sorry, and I won't do it again. And I'll take responsibility. I'll tell people, you know what, I'm late for an appointment, I own it. That just diffuses it.
Correct. You know? Yeah.
Because they're saying, wow, they don't know what to do. A woman tried to get at me in the Walmart. Tried to pick a fight with me. Oh, yeah, she did. You know, because I'm wearing my Black Lives Matter t-shirt. And she was feeling some kind of way. And she could feel any way that she wants to. Just don't get up in my face.
Yeah.
So she's talking real loud. And I turned around, I looked at her and I said, you are absolutely right. I agree with you 110%. I said, people that act like that shouldn't even be allowed in a Walmart. I said, and if there's anything that I can do to support you, to make it better for you and easier for you, let me know. She went from the 12th floor down to the basement. So it's just about communication.
Yeah.
But people don't want to do that. They want to be angry. What do you say to that person that wants to be angry? How do you defuse that?
Firstly, for listening, and one of my favorite lines that I find, like you, from an agreement perspective, is saying, "Oh, great! So it's this and it's this." So it's that recapping. So you're acknowledging, you're helping somebody feel heard, but it's also, is there anything else? To continue it, and that just brings them right down and helps you then have a proper conversation.
Now talk about proper conversations, because you are one negotiator. Yes, you are. I checked you out, girl. Now don't think I don't go through and check out my guests. I just don't have sloppy seconds on the edge.
Yeah.
You have worked with joint ventures. And that is a lot of work to bring two figureheads, try to merge a company together, taking the perspective of the employees, what is going to benefit the company, the revenue, and then, you know, walk away and be considered, you know, a key negotiator. What are some of the tactics and some of the skills that you use in doing that?
So just to clarify, from a company perspective, it's not, we're not talking great big huge mergers here. We're talking companies of, individuals that own a company, generally in that sort of speaking consulting arena. So they've usually got small teams. Mm-hmm. But the thing, and that's a really, really great question. And by God, you have, Doug. joint ventures and seeing the inner genius in others and that giftedness and mixing and matching those elements of this person's got this and they, wow, I really should introduce them to this person because of whatever, is very much a natural instinct. It is a gift. So I've always been called a connector. I've always said, hey, you need to, I love what you're talking about. I was talking to somebody else about that the other day. You should really connect with them. So I've always had that connector instinct. But what, and I thought everybody did, because, you know, when you don't value something, you think everybody, you know, everybody has it. Mm-hmm. But what I was able to do, and now as I developed that and got into those sort of those negotiation conversations, and it was more around, hey, you know, Joe, come and meet Mary. Joe, I've seen, I've been speaking to Mary about you, and Mary's sort of wants to do this, that, and the other thing, and you want to do this, that, and the other thing, and I can see that you actually could work really to get well together on this. So it's not only instinctively seeing that the people connect, but it's actually helping them gain clarity over why I see that. Because they might not see it to start off with, because we all get stuck in our own perspectives. Mm-hmm. So you almost need that third person that's got fresh eyes that says, hey, did you know, let me acknowledge and empower you that these are your gifts. And did you know that this person's got those gifts, and together you could actually do this stuff, this sort of magic, and then helping them map that magic out.
Well, you find the synergy. And I'm good at that too, because I'm a good listener and I have connected, you know, a lot of people. That's like my show. You know, I'm not a sales funnel. I'm not a lead magnet. I'm not going to give you a bunch of emails, because number one, I want to make sure that it's reciprocal, that there's give and take. That's very important. I want to make sure that there's a kindred spirit. And then when you give me your information, that's proprietary. That's between you and I. And for me to farm you or sell you is disrespectful, you know? So I look for that. But I tell you one thing I am a master at is at networking. Mm. Baby, I can go into a room and I can clean it like a Swiffer. But there are certain key things, and I want to see if you agree with that, that it takes with networking. You know, people will go on social media and they will tag you in everything. That's not networking, okay? Making a conversation with someone, doing a coffee chat, going in a venue and surveying the room, go from the buffet to the bathroom to see who's in the room and really see who it is that you're looking for, because it could be 500 people. And that's not who you want. You might want the top five. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, one of my gold moments is always surveying the room to look for the wallflowers. Mm-hmm. Those ones that might be there for the first time. They're looking a little bit nervous. They're not sure about who's who in the zoo or who's in the room. But you can see that they've got something. They're there for a reason. And because they're holding back, they're not what I call one of those business card ninjas going with their business cards. They're wanting to make deeper, meaningful connections, but they're not quite sure, you know, where to jump into, because there's often little clicks when you go to big networking groups. So I actually like sort of standing in my own little corner after I've done the hostessing things or whatever I need to do, standing in my own little corner and just sort of watching. and then going over and bringing either a couple of wallflowers together and introducing them, or getting them to introduce themselves, or asking the question, you know, who are you here to right. meet? What would benefit you and your business? Can I introduce you to somebody? Tell me a little bit more about what you're looking for. And then I can go and play the mix and matching game often in those cases as well.
And let's talk about that business card ninja. That's cute. Because they are, you know what? But collecting the business card is key. Mm. Number one, you're going to look at the card. You're going to read back the person's name. Mm. And then I always put a number on mine. One, okay. two, or three. You know, one is priority. You have to follow up. Mm. The follow-up is key. You know, people think you're just going to automatically, because I met you, I'm going to remember Sally Curtis and give her a call and give her $5,000 because she's cute. I mean, that would be great, but that's not how it works, brains. You have to go in, you have to follow up and say, hey, you know, we had a casual conversation at XYZ event. I just wanted to follow up on that and see if there's any additional questions I can ask you. Where are you positioning your business? You know, what can I do? And be a good listener. Because if you're a good listener, then you can color in the white space. Mm. People are going to tell you what they're going to tell you what they need. But if you over-talk them or think that you're the smartest person in the room, you're going to mess yourself up.
So may I add to that? If you're going
Absolutely.
To business cards, do not put somebody straight away on an email database and start sending them newsletters. Please connect with them humanly first.
Even with social media, okay? Yeah. That's annoying to me. Mm. I will reach out to you, and brains, I have no embarrassment about that, because many of you have gotten an email from me in Messenger.
And loved it.
Thank you. I invite you to a conversation. Nothing is automatic. Nothing is guaranteed. Mm. And if you are interested, you will respond. If you are not interested, I let you know. And I can pop in just like I can pop out just like I popped in. It's not personal. It's not personal. But to automatically assume that you know who this person is or what they're going to do. And another thing, I tell people all the time, I try to make the connection. I say, well, you know, I found you because you are an associated with someone that I know, like mine, synergy, blah, blah, blah. Do you know this person? Sally, they don't know. They don't know one third of the people that they have 5,000 links to. And they have an arsenal. They have everything they need right there. The business contacts, the new money, the marketing, the everything right there. They don't even know. They're just clicking on them because someone wants to allegedly be your friend. They're not your friends, brains. You don't know these people.
No. And I would love, because one of my speaking topics is networking, and I'm all one of my, I'm going to have a soapbox moment. Both hands are going now.
What a ninja.
Get them going. Is that people do not understand the opportunities that are sitting in their existing network. We're so habitually trained to go out and get new. But if you had just 10% out of your 5,000 connections that you actually had a strong relationship, you've got every opportunity there to solve any problem with somebody that's got been there and done it experience. You've got every opportunity for people to help you open doors to new markets or to new connections, and you've got people there that you could collaborate with.
That's right.
Sitting in your network, you're only ever one connection away from somebody that you really need or would make a significant difference to you or to your business or you to theirs.
That's right. I believe in 6 degrees.
They ran over.
Absolutely. And they're casting this wide net trying to get a big fish, and you're catching sardines. You know? And it's so important that you know who is in your circle of influence.
Yes.
You know, these people can really make a difference. You know, and I tell people all the time, I say, okay, look, I'm gonna throw you a bone. Okay, this is already a warm lead, it's smoking hot. All you gotta do is make the phone call. I'll make the phone call. They'll come on the edge. They'll do a great interview. They'll have four or five people, because I follow up on who's liking who. And they'll like, they won't do anything. I've had Ellen DeGeneres producers liking stuff. People never go in. I've had people that have venture capitalists. I've had authors. I've had reviewers liking people's stuff. So it doesn't have to be 20 or 30 people with these little likes. It could be one or two. It's like the lottery. All you need is one good set of six numbers for $1 and be a millionaire, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all in the follow-up, but it's the follow-up of relationships.
That's right. Connection.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And not having an expectation.
Yes.
And being able to accept a no. Sometimes people say no.
They do.
For whatever reason. They can't afford it. They're not interested. They don't like you. And it's okay.
Yeah. And I one of the things I often say to clients when they're getting started is, especially if they're doing lead generation or we're putting different strategies together, it's not about your timing. You might have a program to sell or you might have something that you're, goals to achieve. But you've got to have enough honest, open conversations with enough people because it's never about your timing, sweethearts. It's always and only ever about the timing that suits them. Are they ready? The timing right for them? It's not your timing.
I made a post today is that being persistent is not begging.
No.
You give a person one hit, you follow up. Give them 6 months, follow up again. And then if they don't respond, they're not interested, move on. There's billions of people on this planet, And so what you want in your network and in your circle of influence and doing business with you is people that have a vested interest, people that are going to share your information, that are going to connect you, that are going to invest with you, that are going to share, your videos. I don't know why people get so crunchy about that. What is the problem with hitting share? It doesn't cost you anything. And they get so upset with these social media platforms. Someone, one woman told me, Facebook is so rude because they only allow 5,000. Excuse me? You're not paying a dime, Mrs.
Yeah.
So you need to work it as like a modern day White Pages. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have the White Pages? Did you have the White Pages down there in Australia?
Yeah we do. We used to. Yeah. I know what you mean.
And go through it and really see who's of value. And if those people are not of value, that's okay. Release them to make space for someone else. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head there. Is letting go, release, decluttering.
Yes.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Because we know how many opportunities that creates. Ladies, you get rid of stuff out of your wardrobe and you find a whole new fabulous stuff. You make space in your wardrobe for a man to come into your life and a man will come into your life. If you've got no space, nothing can happen.
No. And that goes with being very philanthropic. Because if you live your life with a closed fist, you cannot give nor can you receive.
Receive, yeah.
Beautiful. But when you open your hand, you're fluid. You see that? You live in abundance. Mm. It's constantly flowing. And so people really need to take that into consideration. Correct. Now let's have some fun.
Oh, dear.
I'll ask you some questions.
Go for it.
This is just a real candid conversation. See, Brains, we don't always do this on the edge. We don't have to have an agenda. Sometimes you can just have a conversation, okay? So I want to ask Sally some questions. Tell me three things that you absolutely cannot live without.
Ooh, chocolate, but not in excess. I just like to have two squares every now and then. I don't do the binge chocolate.
Do you do the dark chocolate or the milk chocolate or the white chocolate?
A bit of everything. I like variety.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Always about the variety and the mixing it up. I can absolutely not do without movies. I absolutely love romantic movies and the, overcoming and conquering all movies. So an absolute movie buff. I think if I had to give that up, that would just be not pleasant. I could give up books, but I definitely couldn't give up movies. And nature is very important for me. So either getting my hands dirty, digging in the garden or walking in nature. just well, admiring what it's more, it's around the admiration of, oh my God, look, you know, how that that flower that's a weed's come up through the ground, through those rocks, and how that's, it's all around that achievement and the glory of what nature can show us as humans.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's pouring organically. And that's what I like to do. I want to pour organically and see what grows from that. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
Oh, definitely a ferret, without doubt.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'll explain that if I may.
Yes.
So I haven't got pet ferrets now, but I've had pet ferrets, and they came into my life after being very, 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 very serious. I'm very competitive when I was in the horse industry, as well as the full-on sales rep industry. So very, very uptight, very serious, very, you know, and my marriage was a bit at the time too. And I sold all of that and I got a pet ferret. And I discovered through ferrets that they are optimists. They're continually joyous. They're naughty. They're loyal to a fault. They're cheeky. But what I love most is they celebrate their excitement. So if they do something, they do a ferret war dance where they go, and you've all seen the videos. So I love their joyous, naughty spirit. So I would say that when I'm in my flow, I'm in that space. But when I'm sort of, you know, doing business development or helping somebody get strategic, we're going down a rabbit warren like a ferret would, or we'd be seeking out adventure, because they're always off adventuring. And that's what I love about them most, their joyousness and their adventurous spirit.
Well, if I was an animal, you know which animal I would be?
You did tell me, but I've forgotten. I'm very
sorry.
A party animal.
That would be fun. No, actually, I think I would be an elephant.
Yeah.
I'd be an elephant because they are big, they are strong, they are powerful, but they are gentle. They never forget.
Matriarchal.
They're very kind. They're very helpful. I just love elephants. I love elephants.
Big family. Family is
very. What is your favorite color?
Oh, I don't know, but I think it might be red.
Red? Why?
Yeah. I've always been attracted to the strength and power of red, and I like. I used to wear lots and lots of red jackets. In fact, if I didn't wear a red jacket, people didn't see me at events. But I'm so I have lots of red around the house, as you can see. And that royal deep purple would be my next favorite color. But I find a lot of warmth and strength from red. It makes me feel good. It's one of those colors people sort of always seem to comment on. So I sort of, I've always
been. You wear it well, darling. You did.
Thank you. Yeah.
Out of all the careers in the world, if you weren't doing what you were doing, what would you be doing?
It would be an offshoot of what I'm doing. I would be running connecting parties, which I sort of feel like I am now. I've thought this the other day. I always thought I would run connecting parties. I'd go around the globe just running these parties and just connecting, having networking parties, but actually doing that facilitation and connecting people and seeing where the magic would go. So if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I would be completely and totally doing that. I would be just taking people on adventures, discovering all of the great things that we've got around the globe, but making sure the right people are in the room and they've made the right connections and that they're like-minded and they're collaborative. So I would be doing that on steroids, we would say.
Okay, well, that sounds like you're very adventurous.
Yes.
On many levels. What has this isolation and COVID-19 taught you, and how has it made you a better human being?
Great question. So for me, COVID has done nothing but create opportunities for me. And one of the things that I learned most is I actually went back to networking differently, more consistently. So let me explain that. Pre-COVID, I used to I run networking events locally at a very, very local level on a monthly basis. And the reason I was doing local events was the offshoot of when my son was younger and it was easier to stay in the state and be there when he needed me for schooling, etc. Whereas prior to that, I'd had a more of a national presence, and I was sort of interstate a lot prior to that with the work that I was doing in the businesses that I had. So COVID enabled me to be on calls like this with my tracksuit pants still on.
I heard that. I love it. I absolutely love it.
What it enabled me to do was have great conversations with people just like we are today. And I got, so LinkedIn's predominantly my platform. I play more wholeheartedly on LinkedIn. And I was having the most amazing conversations with the most amazing people all around the globe. A lot of it was happening in the US for me. So I've sort of found myself in the US marketplace now, and really, really noticed the difference with the difference between networking in the US and the networking in Australia, which I've been sharing some of the insights here locally. You just do it so much better than and much more purposeful than what we do. So COVID's enabled me to connect to my global audience. It's enabled me to connect other people to other like-minded souls, and to sort of really demonstrate that, hey, we may be individuals, but we're a collective of individuals all around the place, and we're all very different, and we've all got great stuff to share with each other if we give each other the opportunities to do so.
And the space. Allow people to, you know, I tell people all the time, you're going to be on the edge. We can agree to disagree. You just can't show up disagreeable.
Yeah, nice.
You know, I just don't have the energy for that.
Yeah.
So what would you tell a 20-year-old Sally A. Curtis about life?
Ooh, very deep question. So my response to that would be, understand yourself in the most intimate, deep ways that you can. So get to know yourself. My greatest mistake has been not understanding myself soon enough. So I was very busy studying strategy. So it comes back to know yourself 95% of the time and maybe study strategies 5% of the time. Because if you know who you are, what you want to, who you want to show up as, who you're becoming, what you're great at, what you're naturally talented at, it enables you to help more people and get a lot more joy a lot faster. So my big tip for Sally at 20 would have been go and study yourself better, not necessarily study externally all those things that you think you need, that are missing from your life. Get to know what you actually have inside versus what you think is missing.
Okay. And my last question. When you depart this earth and you meet your maker, what would you say was one of your greatest accomplishments that you should be, you know, commended for on planet Earth?
Yeah. For me, that would be my relationship both with my son, Rory, and particularly with my ex-husband, Andrew. So we were together for 23 years. It took us 5 years to go through the divorce process. We weren't very good at communicating. That was why we split up in the first place. I'll take a lot of that, the ownership on that as well. But we have, Andrew and I have the most great relationship. We speak probably a couple of times a week. Our son, who's grown up between two homes and has got an extended family and has had an extended family on my side at different times as well, has grown up with such strength and balance and has even said to me, you know, I really did have the best of both worlds because I had you as a single mum when you were partnered, but I also had an extended family over here, and I've got to see where it was bad and where it's become good and the reasons why, which is a pretty deep thing for he's now 17 to say, and he would have said that when he was around sort of 15 or 16. So that level of openness and communication between my son and even to degrees with my ex-husband.
Well, you know, it speaks volumes for the woman you are in red.
Thank you.
Know, you are happy, you are a chipper, you are a networker, you are a connector. I couldn't see it any other way. You know, that you are willing to give of yourself and your time to make it better for someone else. We have a blended family as well, and we love each other. you know, but it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of communication and understanding. And that is something that I see you have mastered. And I have enjoyed talking to you so much. I really do. I'm so glad to get to know you outside of just the business entity, but the woman that you are and the woman that you aspire to be and the young woman that you once were.
Yes, absolutely. And still becoming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's not over till it's over.
No, absolutely not.
So Sally, tell my brains how to get in contact with you. You know, if you've got an offering or, you know, really what you're doing here in the U.S., I'm very popular, but all over the world, because you're just a point and a click away.
Yep. So best place to connect with me is on LinkedIn, and you can find me under Sally A. Curtis. One of the things I'm always open to have a great conversation with somebody just like April is one of the areas that we specialize in, and I'm really proud of the work that my team and I do, is we do a lot of book content repurposing. So if you've written a recent book and you need some help getting some creating content, we can turn a book into at least 200 or 300 graphic tiles for you. So you've got some visibility, credibility, and profitability is increasing online. So that's the work that we really love doing, because it takes people away from being stuck behind their computer or fatigued, gives them back to their families, and lets us do the creative work that we love to do.
Well, creativity is definitely in your blood. Right. This is where you are. You are here on the edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And I thank you so much for being so open and honest and fun and candid. That's what I love to do. That's my forte. And Brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations. I got over 800, close to 900 of all kinds of stuff. And we are looking forward to this year of 2021. We're looking forward to healing from COVID-19 and being better people, being better parents, and getting back out and networking. Because I'm telling you, we sure miss that in the United States.
Yeah.
Now we are all in lockdown for real. Okay. Yeah. So again, this is the place to be. Thank you so much, Sally Curtis.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved every minute of it.
I adore you. Mm-hmm.